Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery. With your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and of course I'm Al Warren, and you are here, and I don't know why. Mr. Martino is drunk and in Boston.
As always, how you doing, Al?
Well, I'm not drunk. I'm still sick from L.A. What a cesspool. What a cesspool. I hate L.A. so bad. You know, that was the worst week I've ever had. But that's okay. I made it out alive. Maybe I'll do it again one day. Now, I got the room all really dark. You notice the studio's been really dark for a while, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and you know why that is. That's mood lighting.
Mood lighting?
Yeah.
You get some candles going, too?
No, because that's, you know, no, we're not getting into that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
This is just enough to make people a little bit nervous. This is because we're talking dark stuff here. And this isn't about hitting on the guests, okay? So you got to
I will.
Keep it in your pants. this is a serious show here. So, okay? NBC
that's right.
Mad if you can. So now you're today we're talking horror, and we've got a returning guest and a new guest. So it's a double header. And so now the book, Venomous Words, we've got Mr. Jeff Oliver first. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. Yourself?
I'm delicious.
You're delicious.
We're 40.
You're 40. I am 40.
Wow. Oh, boy. You got a walker yet?
Yep, two.
Oh, you look
one
good
of them's
for 40.
No rise.
Well, you're like you're like pretty famous now. You got all this great horror stuff, and people really like you, and all these followers. You know, he's 40-year-old guy, stud. He's got it all going. What's it like dealing with all that attention?
I just keep writing and do what I do normally. Some of it's a negative, some of it's positive. It's just it all comes with it.
Well, we want some details here. your listeners, they want to know some secrets.
Hmm.
Just write what's in your soul.
Well,
you want to be
yeah.
Write what's in your soul. Let it go. If they like it, they do. If they don't, they don't. That's just how I've always been taught to write. Just write for you first. If they like it, awesome. If not, just keep doing it for you. If you like doing it.
Oh no, you hunt them down and kill them. Come on.
Yep, that too.
See, now we're going to get it out. Now you've brought with you another guy here, and his name's Gordon Riley. So, Gordon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it.
Gordon. So, Gord, What exactly did you bring to this book?
The macro photography, all those the imagery is that's all mine.
Because this is kind of we got people that are actually listening that are even older than you guys. So maybe explain macro photography, kind of the basic of what it really is.
Okay. So you know, obviously I use a standard camera, but the lenses are somewhat different. I use specialized lenses that can get in really, really close. And believe it or not, even some of the images that are in the book, they're species and they're no bigger than, say, even a head of a pin in some cases. So you're seeing something that isn't normally seen with the naked eye.
That's pretty wild. So how do you decide on what item you're going to take a photo of that closely when they're so small and you don't really kind of know, like you're saying, it's something we've never seen with the naked eye typically. Most humans have gone by.
So. Well, you know, for the most part, they're, you know, the species and the specimen that I photo, you know, obviously the majority of it is scorpions. But when you get into like the jumping spiders, flies, and you know, other smaller, you know, insects, that's when you get into the real heart of what macro photography is. You know, when you actually see all the fine details, the hairs, you know, the
it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it can really open up your eyes, you know, as far as what each animal looks like. Now, how do I figure out which one I want to photograph? I just kind of look at it like, okay, well, what would this look like under a lens? And, you know, I take a couple shots, I see exactly what it looks like, and then, you know, I decide on an area of the, you know, the subject to go ahead and specialize on. So that's basically how I do it. You know, I kind of use the lens to get a good overall at first, and then, you know, I kind of extrapolate on it.
Well, I'm wondering, Gordon, is it dangerous taking microphotography of venomous creatures, or are they too small to hurt a human?
Well, the scorpions that I photo, they're, you know, medically significant. And what I mean by that is that they're considered, you know, in some cases dangerous to humans. There's some species in the book that, you know, obviously you never want to get stung by. You know, it's the nastiest of the nasty. Is there danger with it? You know, I spent a lot of time working on, you know, learning behavioral characteristics, you know, observations of the animal. And then, you know, when it finally comes down to the time to do the photo shoot, because I'd say probably 90-95% of everything I do is live. Really got to take care in knowing exactly how it's going to react, what it's going to possibly do. And, you know, set up certain barriers to where I'm safe and the animal's safe. But for the most part, believe it or not, the animals are free range. So, you know, I don't tell them to sit for the photo shoot. I basically just ask them. So, you know, and it's been pretty good for me. So, you know, I just lay in wait and be as patient as I possibly can and wait for the shot.
Yeah, I would say a lot of patience goes with something like that. So Jeff, how does one find a person like Gordon Riley, and where did, so before we get into where the book came from in an idea form, how did you meet Gordon Riley?
Well, I got a message in Instagram one day. It was Gordon. He's like, he was attracted to my writing. He liked my writing. He was a fan of my writing. And he wanted to collaborate on Instagram, like a writing and a photo. So that just sparked the idea. It's like, let's just write a book.
Well, it's interesting because you do a lot of poetry and a lot of words that have deep meaning, sort of. And do you find this might be an amateur question, but I'm trying to learn this part. So. Is it something like, is it the chicken or the egg kind of concept? So does he send you a picture and that inspires you, or do you give him words and that inspires him to find the picture? Like, how does that sort of happen?
Well, for this one, I looked at each photograph that he added to the doc. We coded the document together. He'd put a photo in, and I just think, what could I write to go with this particular animal? Like, I was reading, there's a description of each animal too. So I was reading the description of each one too, and I was like, how would I fuse poetry with something new? And every photo I looked at it different animal, different photo, different positioning. And then I just flowed into his photography with my poetry. I used to write the photographs all the time when I first started writing. But then I just kind of branched off to the just straight writing. And I kind of went back to it. But this time with live creatures that are actually real.
Yeah. Do you put yourself in the mind of that creature, or do you try to put yourself into the body of...
It depends on the photograph itself. Each one was different. Each one sparked something new, like a different... Because each description was different. Each animal had its own venom, toxicity, its own shape, its own hair that you can't see with the naked eye. Like, how is that positioned? How is the stinger positioned? How are the claws positioned? How can I make the best poetry for each one? And that's what I did. I used that mindset throughout the entire process. And then I added a few that I had written out before that fit. And most of them are brand new. But a lot of them I had from years ago that just fit perfectly into that particular still. I don't know, but it was an experience for me too, because I learned something new about scorpions, spiders, centipedes, flies, ghost manis. There's centipedes in here too. It's crazy how good these photos are. It just sparked the inspiration.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I was going to say that you're sort of in a dark sort of area as you write anyway. But were there any pictures or any of these, venomous specimens that were shocking to you as a writer? Did you kind of get taken aback by any of them?
Probably the one that stands out is that ghost manis.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one, Gordon? The green ghost manis. That thing, man, I was like, holy shit.
How dare you?
I was like, man, I'd hate to be something smaller.
Or you'd hate him to be something bigger.
Yeah, imagine them things bigger than us.
Yeah, basically anything in the book, if it was the size of a dog, we'd be in trouble.
Them jumping spiders, man, they're terrifying. And you can't see them.
Well, yeah. Like, for the most part, they're very small. But, you know, the jumping spiders, they're in people's houses. You don't even know it. I mean, they're all around us, you know. You know, it's the jumpers, they're actually very, very human friendly. Centipedes, not so much. And the scorpions, obviously, you know, the arachnids, when you get into the scorpion realm, that's all hands off, obviously.
Well, you know, being that these are kind of in the darker elements and stuff, did you guys ever have an image of what you wanted the book to turn out like? Did you have kind of an idea in your mind what the end result would be?
I'm kind of looking at it because I got my copy today, but Gordon didn't get his yet. But it does look like we envisioned it, bud. It really does. I mean, the photos, we each got our own page. We got the poetry, then a photo. The poetry, then a photo. It's very well put together.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to say, I mean, from what I've seen, you know, the books come out, and I mean, it looks exactly like I, you know, would have pictured it in my mind. You know, I mean, the way the whole thing came about was just, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of all fell into place. You know, I contacted Jeff, like you said, and, you know, I mean, I was just enamored by his, you know, poetry, and it just kind of fit. And here I am sitting up one night editing images, and, you know, I started reading his work, and I was like, wow, this, you know, kind of really hits a chord here. And, you know, I contacted him and I said, hey, you know, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I love your work. And, you know, I think that your poetry would pair really well with my images. And, I mean, and that was just for the simple collaborations. And, you know, I mean, as this thing kind of, as Jeff kind of like got into my work a little bit and saw the images, you know, there was no other way to go about it than to write a book. I mean, you know, I got really, really good responses from my Instagram following as far as like, you know, adding the poetry to the images. And, you know, that was a first test run, I guess. You know, there's a couple images that, you know, I posted up that had, you know, samples of his poetry, and people loved it. And, you know, after that, it was pretty much off to the races, so to speak.
Now, do you guys have like a something you want people to get out of this book? Like, you know, when they sit there and they're going through the poetry and the pictures and all that stuff, is there something you're trying to get across to people?
Well, you know, I envision this to give the reader the autonomy to basically make a decision for yourself. So, you know, obviously, you know, as a photographer and a keeper, because I do keep a lot of the species that you do see in that book. What I wanted to get across was, okay, well, you have to make a decision. So you can either decide to dive deep into the dark depths of being scared of these animals, or you can take a different approach and, you know, try to educate yourself a little bit more. And that's basically what the descriptions are for, is to give a little bit of information that prods people to want to know more about the species, the scorpions, you know, the centipedes, you know, and, you know, just educate themselves and, you know, learn that not everything's out there to kill you. You know, they're not out there to inherently hurt you, but, you know, they just truly want to exist. It just so happens that they're extremely venomous, which, you know, that's all well and good. But, you know, I mean, the reader basically gets to decide on, you know, what their take is going to be when they view the image, and read the descriptions, and, you know, obviously the poetry, you know, it all comes together, and, you know, you get to make a decision on how you want to see this book.
Best of both worlds. First of its kind, I do believe. I looked. Nowhere else that I've seen anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like this, you know, out. Yeah.
Ever.
And I don't think any...
Awesome blurbs, too.
Yeah, you know, as far as I know, you know, I'm pretty deep into the macro community, and I haven't seen any other macro artists, macro photographers do, you know, a collaboration with this kind of depth. So it's kind of, you know, that's what made it even more interesting for me.
You know, with Jeff, with your writing, I always sort of think that
yes.
In your poetry, like when you put a dark piece of work out, it means something to you, and it has some sort of, I don't know, life of its own. But I almost get the impression that you're trying to, or you're hoping that people see something beautiful in the darkness. Now, I might be wrong, but that's kind of how my take on your writing. Do you find that that's kind of how you want people to take your writing, or do you want them to feel dark? Like, what's kind of your take on it?
I've actually been told both. Yes, that's, people feel that way. Exactly how you feel. They see the beauty in it. It makes them think they're not alone, too. So that's a good observation, because you're pretty much spot on with it. But the dark, that's for people that's been there, done it, lived through it. It's all there for you. So it triggers some people that they can't handle it. Well, that's expected. But yeah, all that and beauty in the darkness and just see the darkness sometimes. Because life's not a fairy tale. Like some people.
No, it definitely dives into people's fears, you know, spiders, centipedes, and scorpions. I think that probably hits the top notch for most people, you know. But the thing is with macro photography, you get to see a little bit more and you get to actually see the beauty in the details, which, you know, that's what I always say. The beauty is in the details. So
fused well. Exactly. Fused well.
I would think that your macro photography on this and getting a better look at these, I guess, animals or creatures, whatever, a better look at these beings in a way that you've never seen them before kind of will highlight some of the beauty. And in essence, I think, isn't the fear that we have, every one of us, is something either within ourselves? It's not really the, you know, the spider, let's say, that we're scared of. It's more about something it brings to us.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's basically exactly what it is. You know, a lot of people are scared and they don't know why. You know, I've been keeping scorpions since 2002. You know, so I'm, you know, a very avid keeper. I enjoy it. And, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to make kind of prominent with this was, you know, just the education on it, that, you know, it's, they can be beautiful and they can be dangerous, but more so it was more about the education and, you know, trying to draw people into the unknown and show them that, you know, they can keep these animals and, you know, observe them and be just as starstruck as what I am, you know, without a camera.
Now I was wondering, Jeff, you were talking about how, you had written some of these poems before, a little bit of, some of the poetry is a little bit older. I'm just wondering how you, do you visualize almost like a photograph when you were writing these older poems too? I know Thomas Ligotti does that when he writes stories, so I was just curious if that was part of your process.
I do picture things when I'm writing, yes. I try to inject myself, no pun intended, into the situation as I'm writing. So it's just like a kind of like an old film playing.
Interesting.
Like a spinning reel after a film runs out, the old school. Like that. So yeah, it's just always ideas coming. It never stops. It's just like that same thing all the time too. It doesn't change. Just like that. Yeah, I do picture things as I write, the older ones too. And like I said, a few of them just fit. Like there's a picture of this cool looking stinger. It's called, you'll remember this one, Gordon. The orange morph stinger with the hair.
Yeah, that's a very, very popular species.
Extreme macro showing the setae, the hairs. And granulation detail of this amazing scorpion. So here's an example of an older one I threw in for this one because it fit perfect. I titled it Crave. It said, they can judge me all they want. They crave what they can't find. What they can't understand will stay a mystery. I'll forever be out of my mind. And that's the poem for that stinger. I just thought it fit.
Yeah, the way Jeff put his words together for each image, and I mean, you know, everything just fell into place. You know, I could look at the image and I can read the poetry, and it makes you feel a certain kind of way. So, you know, and that to me was important. You know,
the goal will make them feel a certain.
That's kind. It.
Way. Don't know what that way is yet.
well, that's the great thing about the book is they have the autonomy to decide, you know? So you can basically take it any route you want.
Would you guys be upset if someone took it away that you didn't expect them to?
No.
Those are things that we can't control. I mean, you know, it's either you know, you can observe it and you can make a decision that either you enjoy it or you don't. I mean, you know, even people that don't inherently like centipedes, most people don't, you know, and I get it. You know, most people don't like centipedes. Most people don't like scorpions. But one thing you can't get away from, and I've had people tell me this time and time again, when they look at these images, you know, they're seeing a little bit more than a scorpion or a centipede. They're seeing the detail and basically everything about this animal, you know, and then they're able to read the poem that goes along with it. And, you know, and it's a little bit on the mind-blowing side because these are things you never see. I mean, you know, it's things that people don't normally think of. And, you know, there's a certain appreciation I think that people can have for even things that they don't like. They can appreciate the intricacy. And I think, you know, that's one thing that you can't get away from. You know, I mean, they can say what they might, you know, or say what they will, but, you know, the intricacy is still there.
Well, it's a really, really interesting thought, the whole book. It's kind of groundbreaking, and I think that's great. So there is an actual macro photography groups of people out there doing photography using this method. What do you think the response from them will be?
You know, I think most would probably support the idea that, you know, I was opening doors and venturing out. You know, it's, you know, there's always somebody better. You know, I mean, there's a lot of macro photographers out there that, you know,
anymore.
I look up to. there are a lot of macro photographers that I look up to, and, you know, people that I've studied. You know, I'm self-taught. I picked up a camera 3 years ago, and this is where I am now. I learned basically on my own, and, you know, I think a lot of the photographers and a lot of the artists that, you know, do what I do, they would support it because, you know, I mean, it is an art and, you know, it's just, you know, something that needs to be seen. And, you know, the more that people see it, I think the more that people can enjoy it.
I'm wondering, is there a macro photography community? Like there's a horror community?
Oh, yeah.
Do people get together?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's numerous Facebook groups, Instagram, it's huge. You know, I mean, there's, you know, and the thing is with macro photography, each macro photographer has like their own style. So, and you'll notice that, you know, the blacked out reflection style is basically my brand, so to speak. You know, I've been doing it for a while. You know, that's what I'm known for. You know, but every photographer has like their own little niche thing that they do that makes their photos even more special. So, you know, it adds a little bit of them into their, you know, imagery, which I, you know, it's an amazing community, to be honest. You know, I mean, if I ever needed advice, you know, I could always reach out to some of the top guys. You know, my buddy Florian, Chris, oh God, Bryce. I mean, there's so many of them out there that, you know, I've gotten advice from in certain aspects and they've helped me throughout the years. So, but everybody ends up with their own like signature style, basically, if you will.
We got Joe Lansdale in here. Joe R. Yeah. Lansdale wrote a poem with me. That is nuts.
That's amazing.
How did that come about?
I just asked him and he said, yeah.
Make it sound more difficult.
No.
Well, you know, Jeff is Jeff, so you know.
I to the man, be like, "Hey, man, so I went through this and that." No, I didn't. I did not.
Well, you know, Jeff, but it's a lot of your, as far as I see, your work is very personal and it's very important. But I write as well, but not like what you do, but each time you do a book or you do a poetry or you do something, there's a process of letting go, of separation from your work and putting it out there. How do you do?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Deal with that.
I just write it and throw it, man. I just throw the hook. My feelings or whatever I feel about it later, I'll deal with it, but I just throw it. I just write it and just go. I'm going to see how this works. I'm going to see how that works. I'm just going to see. I've deleted so many, I can't even tell you that I don't like after I post. I'm just like, eh, that's not staying up. It's, sometimes I get too deep, but I just let it go anymore. I don't hold nothing back. I just, whatever my hand says, whatever my mind's thinking is what's going to come out. That's just the way it is.
And he's been spot on too, because I, you know, I've showed him images as I was editing, and out comes this poem, and it's just amazing how he does it. I don't understand it. That's his. I mean, I don't understand how he gets it so right so quick. But it's you know, it's mind blowing. You know, it just fits.
You haven't seen all the bodies in his basement.
There's 15 now.
That's great. Well, Jeff, you mentioned Joe Lansdale.
Yeah.
And there are other people that you collaborated with. How is it? Do you have a process? How did you go about collaborating with another writer when it came to when it comes to creating a poem?
We just write and flow it out and see how it connects. Joe sent me his end first, and then I just flowed right out of him, right off of him. He loved it right away. It's just like, he threw his part there, and then I flow off normally. It's very, sometimes people flow off of me, but I prefer flowing off someone else because it gives me an idea of their style better. That way we don't conflict our styles. I just want to make sure it flows the best way possible. So he sent it. I added. There it is. It's there. And it's called When the Slime, it's called The Slime Stands Up. That's the title of that one.
Wow.
So now that it's said and done and the book is completed, is there anything that you wish you would have done different?
I just got it in the mail, so I haven't been through it all completely yet. So I'm not sure. So far, no. So far, it looks exactly like we envisioned it. And it's my first hardcover, too. So I'm pretty stunned by that, holding a hardcover in my hand for the first time. But not so far. I haven't seen anything I'd change yet. But I'm sure that'll change. But I'm proud of it. If there's stuff I want to change, I don't think I would. All the poems I wanted in there are there. Gordon and I have started volume 2 as well.
Oh, there we go. There's another one coming.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see these images.
Well, you know.
These are a little bit more dramatic.
I already got the poetry written.
Oh.
Gordon's flowing into me this time.
Well, so have you ever had a collaboration that didn't work for you?
Many. It wasn't for a book. It was like social media stuff.
Yeah. So what do you just have them eliminated or what happened?
Yeah. Had them cut off while they were
block. You know, that was one of the big things.
If
something
don't work for me, I'm just like, look, it doesn't work for me. That's what I say. I'm not gonna lie. It's like, I just don't feel it.
I was sitting up at night wondering whether, you know, this guy's going to get my message and be like, who is this kooky guy with, you know, and just like blow me off, you know, but thank God it didn't go that way. But, you know, I could see where
Jeff probably gets a lot of it. It was impossible to blow off looking at pictures like that. You know?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I mean,
just
you know, so many
people. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so, you know,
I
get,
all the
you know,
time.
Yeah, well, there's certain, you know, obviously a lot of spam stuff on, you know, social media, and you never know what's real and what's not, you know, and I was really hoping. I was like, you know, I hope he sees this message and takes it for
what I'm barely ever on Instagram. So that was the one day I was on Instagram. Yeah. I hate Instagram. Yeah, I hate it. I do not
call it coincidental, you know.
Instagram and me do not click.
Why don't you like them?
It doesn't give me enough room to do what I want. You know, it only lets you type out so much. But if I want to...
Yeah, Instagram's mainly for, like, images, you know. Yeah. It seems like images and videos.
Yeah, mostly. I don't...
Basically what it caters to.
I barely ever do video, so...
You don't do TikTok?
No. Freaking ridiculous. No. I am not making a video about a book every time I want to say something.
But as soon as we can get one of the scorpions to TikTok for you, we'll let you know.
That could be interesting.
I'll have my friend animate it, Gordon.
Now that this is completed, and you said you've started working on a second volume and stuff, where do you guys see this going? Like, what do you guys have an idea in your minds, even your own minds, or to get collectively, of where you'd like to see this end up, let's say in a few years down the road?
The number one New York Times, right, Gordon?
I mean, I'm new to this whole thing. So, I'm learning the ropes from Jeff as I go. You know, so I've got very limited knowledge as far as, you know, being an author and what that entails.
Are you about to find out?
Apparently I am. But it's, you know, what I would like to see is that, you know, I would like to see this continue to grow. Obviously, you know, I'm going to be taking more images of even crazier species that people couldn't even possibly imagine. You know, I mean, some of these things where, you know, I mean, some keepers, they would say, no, I don't even want to be in the same room as this thing. So,
scary.
What are you doing, humans?
Yeah, you know, well, humans? See, that's the thing. It's the fear of the unknown again, you know.
It's like...
But But I, you know, I would like to create a collection, you know, of, you know, the species and the photography with a, you know, a good educational value that, you know, people can look at and say, okay, well, you know, if I have interest in this, this is, you know, the route I want to take with it. So, you know, if they specifically want to dive into scorpions, they can, and they have that option, and they can come in with some, you know, limited knowledge, you know, which would benefit them.
I know a lot.
Or, you know, yeah. So, I mean, Jeff was great with, you know, he absorbed everything that I was telling him. And, you know, I think that's what really made it even more special, is because, you know, we could link them, the photography with, you know, the words and the feeling. And, you know, that's something that I haven't seen. I haven't seen it out. I haven't seen anything like it before. And I think that's something that we can grow on. You know, we can continue to go on with that and, you know, make the collection bigger.
And now we wait.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's all any of us do. Is there one particular picture or one thing that really you're proud of in this book, Gordon, I guess I would say?
You know, one of my favorite images is the scorpion heart in the rear of the book. And you know, that's an image I did for my lovely lady. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to show the duality of how beautiful these arachnids could be, with, you know, obviously it has the fear factor and the danger because their tails are intertwined in a heart shape. So, yeah, I call it the scorpion heart. And so it's one of my favorite images that, you know, that I've come up with. But, you know, I mean, everything's got its own little, you know, special place. You
looks
know?
Good in the book too, Gordon, looking at it right now.
Thanks. I wish I could see
it.
Yeah,
it's a book you can't see. Na, 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 na.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, some of the people that I know were messaging me yesterday telling me that they got their hardcover, and I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it yet.
That happens.
You know, I'm glad that they're enjoying it. Yeah. I really am.
And now, Jeff, what is your favorite poem in there? And I, you know, that might not be the right word, but what is the poem that means the most to you in this book?
My favorite's probably called The Lore. It's called The Lore that I, most of these are short, like really short. So it's like a really quick read. So that way it's not like 3-4 page poems. Most of them are just like single paragraph long, if that. Some of them like 2 lines. It all depends on how I felt for the photo. But The Lore, and the photo that goes with this one is a picture. It's the tiger beetle portrait, Gordon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tiger beetle, really colorful. But The Lore. So within my thoughts, I am adored. Within my insanity, I am sure. There are so many choices behind so many doors. I must find the bloodstained shores. I have to explore. I am running towards something. What am I running towards? The confusion of not knowing is the beauty of the lore. And that's that for that one. That's my favorite.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And the tiger beetle is a colorful, looks magnificent.
Yeah, that image actually, the head of the beetle is about the size of a ballpoint on a pen. To give you a size reference, it's a little bit bigger than a, yeah.
It looks like it's huge.
It's extremely tiny.
Yeah, he makes them look like they're big and very detailed. I still couldn't get over that when I first saw it. I was like, how do you make that thing look so good like that? I was
like, well, a lot of different techniques.
Yeah, just like a writer. Writers, different techniques. It's all art. It all is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's pretty amazing. So how do you think the book's changed either one of you, or do you? Like, you know, now that it's done and you look back at it, Do you think you're going to write differently after this experience?
I write differently every day. So I got like 3 more titles coming out after this. There's plenty difference. You'll see. I'll let you know when that time comes. But I have written different lately. I'll just bring this up. I wrote 62 poems on Bram Stoker's Dracula for the 125th anniversary coming up. There's an example of writing differently too. So it could change it. I could go back to the same. I'm unpredictable when it comes to writing. I never know what I'm going to write either. It's just going to flow out no matter what I do. So I might as well just get into it.
Do you find you put yourself in certain places and certain surroundings, or, you know, because you said how pictures, you could write pictures, or pictures influence something that you write, or that. So I'd imagine a lot of the setting that you're in, wherever you are at a time, would also influence how you write. Do you find that you need to put yourself in certain settings, or you look for certain places to be when you're going to write something?
If it's dark, I got to go back many, 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 many years. But if I'm just writing, like I'm writing something dark, but not like horrifically dark or anything, I just do it. Just like whatever comes out. I don't like going back too much, but I do just for the creativity. What do you call it? The creativity sacrifice is what I call it. Just go back and go insane for about 10 minutes, and then you'll snap right back out of it like you always do.
You mentioned that you wrote some poetry for the Dracula anniversary. And I was wondering, you also collaborated, wrote a poem with, I hope I'm going to say his name right, Chris McAuley?
Yeah, that's who I'm writing
for. Who I believe.
Track. Yeah.
And he did some of the Stoker verse, I believe.
That's who I'm collaborating with for the Dracula. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Prequel and a sequel. It's going to be in that one, too.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Illustrate, too. By Dan Berkes. Yeah, I got illustrated books coming up, too. But they are coming.
Let's give out some information so people can find you and hunt you down like the creatures you are. So
what if I want to hunt? I don't want to be hunted.
Well, you see, then you give them Gordon's address, and then you sit outside and wait. And when you see them, then you're the hunter. You know, I know what I'm doing here.
Al has this all figured out.
I was getting a water boy spear.
Yeah, see, you got it. No, so what you don't. So of course, Jeff, you don't like Instagram, and you love TikTok, right? And so where do they come find Jeff Oliver and your books and everything?
Facebook's the main. That's where all my following is. Twitter, I don't like that either. I got like 200 followers there. So Twitter, I'm just not there. I just stay where I'm at normally. But Facebook, that's the best place to find me. Gordon's big following's on Instagram. And it's kind of reversed. He's got all the followers on Instagram. I got all the followers on Facebook. So best of both worlds. I ain't got to be there. Thanks, Gordon.
Did you guys run a website?
Taking it for the team.
Yeah. Do you guys have a website or anything as well?
No, I don't have a website. Gordon has websites, don't you, bud?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Because I do dabble with the breeding of scorpions. I do that, and I've done it for quite a long time. So,
XXX.
For the breeding of the scorpions, there's venommacro.com. And then, you know, I also have a photography page through Smugbug that allows me to, you know, sell prints. You know, I mean, basically you could find me a little bit easier, like Jeff said, through Instagram, which, it's venom_macro. If you really want to know my true home, it's going to be, you know, basically in Facebook in one of the groups called the Scorpion Hobby. you know, it's a very educational group where, you know, people can learn about different scorpion species and arachnids, and it's you know, it's there's a lot of researchers that are involved in that group. I'm glad that they you know, they get in there, but that's basically where you can find me. Doing my thing.
It's interesting. So you guys will have to do the dreaded human book soon.
Josh Malerman gave us a nice blurb for this too. Josh Malerman, Paul Kane, and John Palacino.
Wow.
Yeah, I was blown over by everything.
What do you find it? Do you find it really important that people in the business kind of give you good feedback, or they're kind of into it?
Well, Josh Malerman said he loved it. Oh, man, they all loved it. Everyone that I sent it to for the blurb said they loved it, every bit of it. So, yeah, it was pretty surreal feeling for this one. The first blurbs I've ever had, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is the first time that I've even contemplated a book, and to be honest, I still haven't grasped the whole thing. You know, it's a lot of anxiety because, you know, obviously I want to, you know, I want my work to be seen
in a certain way.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. I want to make sure everything's right. And, you know, and Jeff's really been great with, you know, guiding me in the right direction and, you know, and keeping me calm, cool, and collected, if you will.
Yeah. You got to be here to lose your mind.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rough business, you know. It's you just got to try not to focus on too much of the outside noise and too much garbage. Just kind of keep doing what you're doing, and, mm-hmm. and you'll get there, because, you know, you're on the right track. You're doing it well. Just try not to be let the interference come in. And anxiety will never go away, you know, in the sense that you're always going to be nervous and worried a little bit. But if you keep your focus and keep that anxiety down, you'll be fine. You know?
Yeah. No, it's just been great with, I mean, this is
the last time I was on this show. I was nervous as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I was. Yep. I'm a lot more calm now, as you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. He's relaxed. And so now that you're relaxed, so what? Tell us some good gossip about someone.
I don't talk.
How dare you?
None of those.
Oh well, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Talking. I can't.
That's all right. You know.
I'll talk about them through my writing. That's what I do.
Oh, that's see.
There you go. You have to.
I will dare you without mentioning your name.
Well, that's it. You know, do you actually do that? Because I know a lot of writers that do. Yeah.
I bury people and they don't know what hit them.
And is it a way of kind of therapy of getting through someone's garbage that they get?
I mean, I was talking about this one person and they liked and commented on it.
Hmm.
Like, nice work. I'm like, okay.
Boy, you should write a story about that one.
Be like 1,000 pages.
Gordon, do you put scorpions in people's beds?
You know, I
you should.
There's been many a person that I've thought about doing that.
Yeah,
too, but,
Gordon yeah, has many but ways.
To, unfortunately,
many ways to end yeah. you.
Yeah.
Well, you got we're not going to tell anybody. Other career. You got a whole other career going on here. You know, you got to get another page set up. You know,
you should get a scorpion launcher.
I don't think there's enough of them in the world right now. But
man, you know, there's so many different types. You know, it's one thing for sure. I don't think I'll ever run out of content. You know, I just got to get the content. So. You know, it's I got to have it sitting in front of me so I can image it. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of different things. You know, right now I'm kind of into black widow spiders and the different species. Yeah, so I'm doing some crazy stuff with some widows that would,
gonna be in part two. Spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be there. So it's
Is that triple X stuff? Or?
No, just a bunch of tangled webs. So it's pretty amazing when you get to observe these things and actually take an image of that one specific moment where you're like, wow, people are gonna love to see this. But even the ones that don't like it, they're gonna like seeing it because they're gonna they're not gonna be able to look away.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome actually.
Anything you wouldn't photograph? Anything you wouldn't take a photo of, or like a macro of?
No, I think I've been through, I've done wandering spiders. I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to do a Sydney funnel web, and I'd like to do the Brazilian wanderer, with the Phenotra species.
I think I've seen her.
yeah, I think we all have one time or another. But I mean, there's a lot that I'd like to do. It's just for me, like I said, I dive deep into the characteristics and the care and what I need to do to keep these things going and there's a lot that goes into each photograph. One thing that I don't particularly like are centipedes. I think I've had my fill of centipedes. They're too erratic. But to be honest, they're nature's perfect assassin. I mean, if there was one animal that I could think of that would be just devastating, it would be a centipede. And it's just for so many different reasons, but they're just not one of my favorite to photograph. They're not very cooperative.
Oh, they got attitude.
Yeah, very, very much so. You can see one of the images where I actually got a really good shot of the underside of the fangs.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Of a Vietnamese Dahani. And that's an extremely venomous centipede. That thing was about 9 inches long. And it reared up and... that was one of those images where you look at your catalog and you're like, oh, wow, look at that, and it's just, you just happen to capture it. And I was glad I did because I ended up chasing that thing around the room for a little bit. And chasing a 9-inch centipede around a photography room isn't necessarily the most fun thing at all.
A 9-inch with fangs on the end. I think I've seen him too.
And it's angry. It's angry, like angry.
Yeah,
so,
definitely I've seen him. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that one right there was I was like, okay, at that point I was like, yeah, I might want to rethink how I'm doing these. There's a lot of other photographers that do them and they do them very well. A friend of mine, his name is Jonas Schroep. He does very, very detailed, amazing centipede photography. But yeah, centipedes, I could do without them. I can do it, but
you have to be ready.
Yeah.
Well, this has been amazing. I think you guys have created something very good and very groundbreaking. And I wish you all the luck. This is fantastic. I'm glad to see something kind of fresh coming out and something, I think it's going to have a big impact. So it's been a pleasure. We will have the book up on the website as well so people can find it with one click.
Appreciate it.
Searching, and again, we have the great Jeff Oliver and Gordon Riley. Thank you for being here.
It was a pleasure, as always, my friend.
Thanks, Alan. Pleasure's all mine.
And next really time, we'll be back for round two for Venomous Words. Should we tell them the title or not?
Yeah, I think we could let the title start.
Venomous Words, The Internal Breakdown.
So yeah, the imagery is going to be some of my best. A lot of this imagery is going to be geared towards the horror, going into the widows and tangled webs, and it's going to be good.
So. Makes my nipples hard. So
you've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.